Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Because I'm ahead of the game.
You're already.
I'm very, very clever, me.
You're always very clever, Ted. I bow down to your superiority at every available moment. Now shut up and get on with the show.
I'm not surprised. People pay money to be in my presence. Hello, everyone. We're back again, and we're doing another Whatever Works, your favourite podcast. It's show 217, and it's Monday, the 2nd of December. Good grief, it's December already. Hello, Aidan.
Hello, Ted. Oh, that was a bit loud. I'm trying to wake up. I've only been out of bed 20 minutes, so I'm overdoing it a bit.
Oh, dear. And I got up especially early to be especially cheerful, and I've got to deal with a misery like you.
Well, there you are. You see, like poles attract, unlike poles and all dear, that. Dear. I mean, no, that was the wrong way around. I've only been out of bed 20 minutes.
Hey, he's warming up, everyone.
Oh, dear.
Whateverworks.works is our website. That's where you'll find links to all the claptrap we're going to... Well, our claptrap. Of course, the stuff that you contribute is not claptrap. Good listener. Whateverworks is our MeWe group as well, where we scoop up such lovely stuff from you. And AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. But don't try and book him up, because he's absolutely chock-a-block booked. And... TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me and all I do. So, yes, you're pretty well booked up, aren't you?
Yes, I am pretty chocker. I had my first Santa gig yesterday. Where are we now? Monday the 2nd. I had my first Santa yesterday, which was kind of sweet because it was first Advent of Christmas, if you're into all of that. And, yeah, so I'm off and rolling. And I've got 13 in the diary so far.
13?
Yeah, so I should be sick of the fat old man by then. And Santa.
You'll never be at home.
Did you see what I did there? Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
Are they all in December?
They're all in December. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, this is the craziness of being a Santa. You get masses of work. Nice, very good for the wallet. Thank you very much. But it all happens within a very tight three-week space. And come the 25th of December, that's it. I usually have a Christmas gig itself, which is... the best paid one of the season, I must say. But then once Boxing Day comes around, that's it. You can hang it all up, put it all away, and be unemployed until next December.
yeah. What a shame. What about Easter Bunny?
Yeah, let's not go there. No.
There must be some other event. Oh, Halloween you could do.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing about being a jobbing actor, a jobbing performer, and you take what work you can get. I'm, you know, no disrespect to all the amazing people who do what we call costume work, you know, when you go to Disneyland and they're all wearing the Mickey Mouse and the various costumes. I mean, that's incredibly hard to do, and I doff my cap to people who do it. But it ain't me. I'm sorry. As far as I see it, Santa is a character in a costume that I'm playing, but I'm not about to start doing, you know, Easter Bunny and the Grinch and God knows what else there is out there.
Holding signs on a sandwich board outside
Yes,
shops.
Thank you. I'm not quite that desperate yet. Yeah, Ted, it was Black Friday. Did you notice?
Oh, only slightly.
Did you buy anything? You know what? I bought one thing on our favourite store. I went onto Amazon and I bought a packet of 100 latex leather gloves. Matron, don't ask. I can't review them because I haven't arrived yet. I paid about $4.99 instead of seven something or other. Because they're very useful for, you know, when you're gluing and doing various odd jobs and you need gloves, spray painting, that sort of thing. So I've got a box of gloves coming. That was it. That was my exciting Black Friday on Amazon.
Oh, dear.
But I did. Go on. After you.
Well, I was going to say that I mainly got Christmas presents. But go on. Finish what you're saying.
Well, I was just going to say I did make one purchase that was a lot more interesting. I have Topaz, the photo AI software that, in my case, I partner with Photoshop, that does extraordinary AI. I mean, I don't know how it works. It's all black magic voodoo to me. But you get a dirty, grainy, nasty old picture that was taken in 1840, and you pop it through this system, and it comes out looking like you just took it yesterday with a brand new Nikon camera. It's extraordinary. And I updated that. I bought it a couple of years ago on Black Friday. If you buy it now, it'll cost you something like $200. And I bought mine in 2022 on a big Black Friday discount. And I upgraded it because that ran out and I didn't get the updates. And there's also a brand new software for it now. And I bought that for $49, £38. So I've updated to the latest and greatest. Go on.
I'm looking at their website, and they've got this kind of slider on the screen showing the before and after.
Yes.
And if it's anything like that, if that's the truth, then that really is very impressive.
It is. I put one of my wildlife pictures in. I think you're looking at a picture of a parrot, are you, perhaps?
Yeah.
And I've put one of my wild, and it does do that, where you have not quite, you know, where there's a lot of fur or feathers that aren't quite sharp and in focus, it somehow manages to sharpen them and put them into focus and improve, you know, and old faces. I mean, it does what it calls face improvement, finding and improving faces. And it obviously you have to tweak it, because if somebody's wearing glasses, and they suddenly look like Ronnie Barker because the glasses become way too thick and bold. So you do have to tweak it if you know how, which I don't.
Yeah.
But in general, it's extraordinary what it does. AI is frightening and yet wonderful at the same time. What did you buy?
As I say, mainly Christmas presents, which I know that you don't go in for. But my dad particularly wanted... He doesn't listen to this show, so it's safe to talk about it. But then he knows anyway. He particularly liked that Sony wireless TV speaker thing that I got for mum and dad like about 5, 6, 7 years ago.
I remember
ago.
That.
I spoke about it on the show, yeah. And it lasted all this time. But like the one I bought before them, eventually the battery dies. Now, you could send it into Sony and they would replace the battery. But my guess was that all the hassle and the cost... I didn't look into the cost, to be fair, but all of the hassle, I thought, well, he can have a new one. And actually, the newer version of it is apparently better because it's got a better speaker. And it's got USB-C charging. So anyway, it was something he really wanted. And it's actually quite nice when you've got something that somebody really wants for Christmas, except, you know, instead of all the junk that we normally get each other, and, well, you don't, but the rest of us do. So, yeah, the SRS LSR 200, which is 150 quid. Sadly, going back to your original point, it was the only thing that wasn't in the Black Friday sale.
So you shopped on Black Friday, but it was still Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. But I did get loads of other stuff for people's presents.
Right.
I didn't buy anything. I don't think I bought anything for myself. Well, yes, I did. I'll come to that later in room 101, because it was crap.
Yeah, we've always felt in my family... I mean, I agree with you about presents. We've always felt in our family that it's just pointless to go rushing around, getting into stress and spending money that you may not have just because it's Christmas and you have to buy somebody something at Christmas. So we've always said in our family, if you see something that you know, as in your case with your father and the Sony thing, if you see something that you know the other person is going to genuinely be happy to have, then that's a good reason to buy it, even if it's not Christmas or birthday. But I just don't believe in all this running around. You know, I meet friends coming up to Christmas. Oh, I haven't got very long because I've still got lots of people I've got to buy Christmas presents for. And you really want to sit them down and say, why? Why are you doing this? Here, I tell you what I've posted. Unfortunately, our listeners won't be able to see it. But I was, and I still am, very tempted and curious about this Sony wireless that you've got, because my mother has a very Heath Robinson-esque system that I put up for a couple of PC speakers, which I've mounted behind her head on the couch where she sits, and they're plugged into a cable which is then run under the carpet and plugged into the television. Hey, it works! It works! And she has the speakers behind her head.
What's the thing that's going over the top of her head?
Oh, I do remember, our listeners can't see what you're seeing. That's a light. That's got nothing to do with the loudspeakers at all. That's actually her reading light. In fact, it is to do with the loudspeakers, because I've balanced the cardboard that's holding the loudspeakers. It's a bit like that Rolf Harris song, and the speakers are balanced on the light and the light is balanced on the floor. You know, one false move and the whole lot will come crashing down.
You'll have to post that on the group now.
Yeah, fact, I think...
When I post the news about the show, I'll post it as part of that.
You know, the only thing I do think very I can funny. Stand up and say no, no, no to you and your father is that my mother has her speakers directly behind her head in stereo to boot, which I suppose is an advantage. But otherwise, of course, what you've bought your father is very much more convenient, very much more probably accurate and safe and worthwhile. But I mean, no,
He thinks it's brilliant. The pair of them had this thing for years, and he's really missing not having it. So it was a really good present.
And I'm still jealous, despite my Heath Robinson games in the living room.
That's really funny, that picture.
Our whole house is like that, Ted. Our whole house is held up by gaffer tape, string, cardboard, wire, sellotape and hope.
Oh, we got another bit of news. We got is talking about Christmas. We got an automatic barrier on our site now, our static site, and it's got it's lit up like a Christmas tree. It's got flashing red lights all along the top. Presumably, it's so that people don't walk into it or drive into it. It's, you know.
Well, when you say automatic, do you have to have a little gizmo that allows it to open, or is it automatic to anybody who approaches it?
No, you do. Well, there's a keypad thingy on the stalk.
Ah.
So you can punch it. You can punch in a number, but if you want to, you can buy a gizmo for 80 quid.
Oh, wow.
80 quid. I told them. I said my dad's got a garage door with a zapper thingy, and to get a replacement zapper for that was 45 quid, and you're charging 80 quid. That is just taking the piss.
Yeah.
Anyway. So there's a nice new barrier anyway. People don't have to get out of their car to open it, which is nice.
Yes.
And I did notice this week that it had been a bit colder, and for the first time ever, maybe it's because I've got over 60, I'm actually feeling the cold a bit. I'm really glad that I've got this really good gas-fired central heating in this van, because I have been using it. I never thought I'd hear me say this.
Whoa, hang on a second, Ted. We've got to stop and just take this in for a moment. This is a 180-degree turn here, Ted. Ted Salmon is complaining of the cold. You heard it first here, folks, on Whatever Works. Or doesn't in Ted's case. My goodness.
Mind you, my first port of call is a jumper, and then a second jumper, and then my gloves, and then my hat before I put the heating on.
You see, you're not so Bear Grylls after all, Ted, are you? You're more like the rest of us. I'm pleased to hear it, but sorry, you're cold. How's that?
I'm getting old.
Oh, you're getting old, dear.
I have found that it seems to be better to give it probably because it's a static and not a proper house. But
yes.
If I leave it on low all the time, I think that it doesn't heat it up properly. My strategy is to give it a blast for half an hour on full power and then turn it off again, and then that blast seems to make it last longer than it would have lasted if I just left it on trickle, if you follow. I mean you'd need an energy consultant to try and work out which is the best, but that seems to be better for me.
Yeah, and I think I concur. I've learned in our house, and I've definitely proven over the years, that it does work if you've got a house with decent enough walls to trickle, because then the very walls and the floor and the ceiling become warm, and so the whole thing holds its warmth better.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. If you live in a tin of beans, then the heat's just going to dissipate straight away, isn't it? So,
yeah.
You need to get Steve Litchfield round for a cup of tea and quiz him about it.
Indeed.
Here, I had to, just in passing, this made me laugh. I had to, with all the various castings and things I do, I had to fill out a form online the other day, which was clearly meant to be done on a phone. And you know how old-fashioned and 60-year-old and stubborn and pedantic I am. And I say, no, I love my computer and I will use my computer. I'm not using the damn phone. It came to the signature. And I had to sign this thing with my mouse. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that. It's obviously designed for the phone, and you just sign it with your finger, as you would on your phone screen, with a touch screen. But I had to sign my name with a mouse, which is almost impossible. I mean, I ended up with this sort of spidery squiggle that possibly bore a very slight resemblance to the way my signature might look. And I just had to submit it, but it did make me laugh. Just for fun, I mean, get a drawing program up and try and sign your name with a mouse. It's utterly impossible.
It is very tricky, you're right. A trackpad, a tablet. Well, then if you're using a tablet, you might as well use a phone, mightn't you?
Yeah. What you need is one of those drawing pads for your computer that sit on the desk, and then there'd be a piece of pee then.
Yeah. Right. My last bit of errata is that bloody cleaning light just came on this very morning on the Sage coffee machine.
You have to clean your machine at last, Mr. Salmon.
The light is on, and I remember this from last time. I just didn't stand a chance remembering the complicated process of how to do it. I think it's because it's so infrequent, I just forget how to do it. So I've got to get the book out and read it stage by stage like an idiot. I think the trick is to drink more coffee, because if I drink more coffee, then it will come round quicker, I guess. But, It's a complicated process, and I wouldn't want to be without the book.
Now, you see, this is where you are your own worst enemy, Ted, because I'm just like you. Exactly, Alzheimer's rocks. Every time I have to do it, I've forgotten. And I do, and it takes about 30 seconds, because the man tells me in about... There you go, you see. You won't hear it, but that's what you need to do.
I want to use my eyes for reading, not watching videos. It's a leisure pursuit.
Which is admirable, but if you can save yourself all this faff, never mind. I'm onto a losing battle here, I know. Should we move on to feedback?
Yes.
Stu Miller came back. And you remember I was on the show last week, I talked about my wonderful shaver that I'm so happy with, my Braun S9 Pro. Stu Miller fed backs. Wanted to bring his 24-pound Sweet LF razor. I don't know what LF stands for. Sweet LF.
No, I dread to think.
Stu says he was inspired by Aidan's mention of still using the Braun S9 Pro shaver. After many years of trying to find a decent shaver and buying various models from the big manufacturers, some approaching £200, but then hurling them out of the window in disappointing rage, I opted this time to try a shaver from Amazon at the other end of the cost spectrum, the Sweet LF. And blow me down, it's the best shave I've ever had.
Yeah.
Decent build quality, he says. STD. What's STD? Standard?
I'm guessing it's probably standard.
Okay, STD. Three-head shaver. Not that powerful, he says.
Oh, hang on a minute. It's a sexually transmitted disease.
That's why it's cheap. That's probably what LF stands for. But again, let's not go there. No, it's not that powerful, says Stu, but it still gives a closer shave than anything else I've tried. The sideburn trimmer isn't up to too much, but that's not a big deal. It has micro USB charger. USB-C would have been better.
Ooh.
Yeah, we agree. But it lasts a long time, and it has a 15-month warranty. I was so impressed, I've bought one for my younger son for Christmas. Oh, sorry, I hope he's not listening.
I was so impressed, I bought the company.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's all very well for me to stand on my pedestal and say, oh, well, you get what you pay for. But sometimes you're lucky, and sometimes something that doesn't cost as much is going to be just as good. So I wish you well with your shaver, and hope it doesn't come to Sweet FL. That's all I can say.
Sweet L.
Oh, LF, sorry. Yeah, I don't know.
No, 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 but FL is better. Now, Pip Tomlinson, who, if you remember, lives in Barcelona, he brings something to the show that I think we've had a version of before. Maybe you can remember as well. It's a UK departure board, and it's a fun gadget, which is a clock that gives you live train departures and arrivals from any station in the United Kingdom or the London Underground. It gives real-time announcements out loud if you want it to, but you can mute it, and you can choose the volume levels and times you want it to work and not work. The guy that owns the company, says Pip, is really responsive, and he made a business out of a hobby which he really likes. He sent mine out to me at no extra cost. Apparently, I was the first customer in Spain. It's designed identically to the actual platform departure boards at UK stations, and you can buy famous people voice packs. Prices vary, from what I can see on the website, between 18 and 42 quid for those. And subscriptions to get extra features. It's a solid little thing with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, as well as a built-in speaker. I have the mini version, but he also sells bigger ones that can be put on the shelf or on the wall. The pricing is quite high, though. It's 185 quid for just the mini one. And the bigger ones are obviously more expensive. But I seem to remember that, well, not quite this kind of gadgety one, but one you actually put on your wall. Do you remember that?
I think I brought to the show quite some time ago something very similar for flights.
Right.
But I don't know, I have to say, Ted, this guy's going to get his hand bitten off. I mean, I can see geeks all over the country, nay, the world, diving at this. You know what? I don't use trains. I'm not a train person. I'm not really interested in trains, but I still want one. I mean, this is just fabulous. I would love to have one of these. This is geekism in its highest degree. I love it.
My dad would love one of these too. He's such a transport-orientated person, and he would love to have this. Anyway, yeah.
Well, you stingy thank git. You, all you bought him was a loudspeaker for Christmas, and you could have bought him. Well, how much is the big one? Because, of course, that's the one that Aidan Bell would want.
I don't know.
800 yeah, quid, I seem sure. to remember reading or something. Quite a lot, wow. yes. Oh, but it is marvellous. Pip, I mean, gosh, thanks for bringing that, because I just love it. I have no interest in trains, yeah. but I love it.
Actually, at the moment, that 185 quid is... Oh, it might be gone now. Black Friday was 140-something. They'd knock some money off of Black Friday, right. but the proper price is 185. Anyway, yeah, thanks, Pip.
Paul Williams brings us Rab Men's Cirrus? Cyrus? C-I-R-R-U-S. Cyrus Hutt Slippers. My Rab slippers, oh, yeah. says Paul, have lasted me nearly a year now, and I can say that these are the best slippers that I've ever had, ever owned. Normally, slippers only last me around a couple of months, with the backs being trodden down or the backless ones being thrown out because they continually fall off. No matter if it's the heat of the summer or the freezing of the winter, the first thing I do when getting out of bed is reach for these slippers. I'm the same. I have different slippers, but I'm exactly the same in that respect. They're still very springy and comfortable, but are now beginning to show their age due to being worn in the garden, no doubt. Yeah, that's another one. Take them off when you go outside. I fall foul to that too. But once you get past the strange look, you'll be amazed at how your feet are cushioned and warmed. When these do eventually give in, I shall be ordering another pair, and other colours are available. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the picture, they do look like tiny sleeping bags for feet, don't they?
Yeah, they look great.
And as such, they do look great, and they look very comfortable. I fell in love with the Allbirds slippers. I think I brought them onto the show. And again, like Paul, I've been very, very surprised that they've lasted me much longer than normal. So maybe we have another contender here. Rab Men's Cirrus Hutt Slippers. They look very, very comfy.
I'd like to know what XL means in terms of, you know, sizing.
Yes.
There's not a sizing chart that I can see here. One, oh, there's one review on the website that says, I can't work the sizes out.
Dear Rob, well, could you please let me know how the sizes relate? Yours sincerely, Mr. Salmon of South Wales.
Yeah. They're 40 quid, and you get 20% off if you buy some at the moment.
Right.
So they're not expensive, are they? They look really nice.
They are very tempting. As I say, I'm actually very happy with my Allbirds, but nevertheless, temptation abounds.
Very, very nice indeed. Mike Robbins is next on the Bosch Classic Fridge Freezer. Finally, he says, we had to lay to rest our old fridge freezer. It's off to the recycle after about 20 years of service. So wow. Until last week, it was a still using. I think we got it in May 2004, and it's been going strong ever since. So it's actually over 20 years. The freezer drawers have broken in a few places, and I couldn't find replacements, so I patched them up. Now time for a replacement. So he posted the photograph of this in the MeWe group, and you can see the drawers in the freezer section are just, they're more repair tape than they are drawer.
Yes,
yes. it looks like something you would do.
Yes, it does. It's got an Aidan quality about it.
Yeah, so let us know, Mike, what you buy as a replacement and how much it costs and if it's good and you like it. I think these Bosch ones, probably in 2004, you pay quite a lot of money for it, I would guess. But yeah, very nice.
As you know, I'm playing Santa at the moment. And I'm getting ready, the last month sort of starting to gird my Christmas loins and get myself ready for the off. I realise that I'm going to have trouble with glasses because I wear fake Santa glasses, which are just old little costume glasses that look very much like Santa, oldie worldy, with plain glass in them. And I realised I'm not going to get on with those this year because I really can't see my hand in front of my face without glasses on. So I did some research and I found a company, excuse me, called I Need Specs. And I started out looking to see if I could find some online glasses like Goggles for You and the companies we've talked about before that would sell me a cheap pair of Santa looking glasses. Well, unfortunately, although I Need Specs have a wonderful selection of all sorts of retro glasses and all kinds of glasses that most companies don't sell, including some rather fancy Santa looking ones, they are quite pricey. You're starting at sort of 40, 50, 60 quid for the glasses and then the lenses and top, and then it becomes quite expensive. But I discovered they do a thing called reglaze. I sent them my cheap and cheerful Santa glasses that I've been wearing for years, and they put my prescription lenses into those glasses and sent them back all within about a week for the price of 29 quid. And wow. I was very deeply impressed. And they came back and I wore them for my gig yesterday and they were a godsend. I mean, I could put them down on the... I put my reading prescription. They're not varifocals, good grief. I've just put my reading prescription in them. So I wear them down on the end of my nose, like Santa would and does. And I can see to read through those. And then I look over the top and I've got my distance vision, which is, thank goodness, still okay. And I was really impressed. I mean, I was wondering about giving them a gold star, but I mean, it's basically just a good service. So if you've got glasses that you really like and you don't, you know, this is one thing that I've always found going into Boots, for instance, to order glasses. They'll never reframe the ones you've got. They always say, no, you have to have new frames. Well, right. This company will reglaze glasses that you send them. They're probably used to people sending them Boots and glasses and so on. And I think they probably were quite amused to get this tiny little pair of Santa glasses. But anyway, they did a wonderful job and I was very impressed. And I give a shout out to I Need Specs, which is INEED SPEX. I Need Specs with an X, and look them up, check them out. If you want glasses reglazed, I recommend them.
That's really good, and it's a real niche service by the looks of it. Retro and vintage eyewear is their tagline, and you're quite right. The website, it looks like it's a group of people that are very low key and just they're trying to make a go of something. It looks really great. It's the sort of service I think we need to be supporting. So that's really good news.
Indeed, and I can actually vouch for their service as well. I did actually have cause to use their service. I sent an email saying, I've got my first gig coming up. Are they going to be here soon? And I got a personal, very nice email. Dear Aidan, don't worry. We've just done them. They're in the post to you now, and you should have them in a couple of days. So, again, not just your big behemoth form email that comes from a computer. It was a handwritten, as it were, letter to me. So... yeah, very good.
Right. So if you sent them a prescription that was complicated, like mine, would it still be £23?
I presume. I mean, there was no variation in the cost depending on the prescription. It just said, you know, this is the cost, and then how are you sending us your prescription? In the usual thing that these online companies do. But again, they're so good, you could send them an email and ask them.
Yeah. You know, I might use this because I've got two pairs of glasses from the optician, which I hate. I never wear them. I wear my old ones. Mm-hmm. And this would, you know, for £23, I think that this, I'm going to use this. Good shout. Well done.
Thank you.
I wonder who bought it.
Right. I wonder who bought the ProDex PX3751W tabletop mini freezer.
It was me.
And the reason that I... Was it?
No, it wasn't. I just thought I'd say that and be difficult.
you bastard. Right. The reason my ears pricked up, eyes pricked up, eyes popped out at this was because I thought it was a great... Now, the backstory to this is that my fridge freezer in my aesthetic is... It can't last much longer. I inherited it when I bought the van, and it's a bit kind of wonky often. Anyway, I decided that when it goes tits up, I will actually get a standalone fridge and do without a freezer. But actually, I'd forgotten about the fact that you get these things. It's a little dinky freezer. Okay, it's not going to hold a huge amount, but it'll hold more than the little thingy at the top of an ordinary fridge. And it could sit on top of a single fridge. And the whole thing would take up so much less room than the giant fridge freezer that I've got. And I really don't use as much as I could be doing. So anyway, somebody's bought this 33-litre little boxy... £99 mini freezer, and I thought, yes, that's good. I got with my affiliate link, I got 75p for that, which is it doesn't sound much, but these things, if people chip in and use my affiliate link, they do add up over
time.
Every
little helps.
Indeed, yes. and so I thank you, whoever it was, and if you are willing to come forward and cough up, it'd be great to hear what you thought about it and whether it's good or not. Talking of my affiliate link, I have noticed now that I've gone 4 months without reaching the threshold. The way that the affiliate links works is that until you get to £25, they don't pay you. Every month they take stock of what you've reached, and if it doesn't reach £25, you just have to, it carries over to the next month. Now, I've never gone 4 months before without reaching the £25. But obviously at the moment, that people are not using my link or not spending much money or whatever.
Times is hard, Mr. Salmon. It's all that recession.
Sign of the times and all that. But anyway, I just thought I would encourage you, and thank you for those that do use it, and encouraging you to, if you have forgotten to use it, please do. It really does help and makes a difference to me. The link you need to go to is tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK, and then just shop as normal. I can see what's been bought, but I don't know who's bought it. So you can remain anonymous. It's no big deal. And I get a few pennies. So thank you. And I always wonder who bought it.
And to show his appreciation even more deeply, Ted will now sing you a song.
Still using and still using.
Listen, back in January 2022, you brought to me, I think it was privately rather than on the show, I can't remember, the Lenovo Smart Clock 2.
I think you'd
brought it to my attention privately because you know that it would be something that would have suited me really well because it had a Qi charger on the side of it. And it did indeed. And I was very, very taken with it. And I wanted to have one. And in fact, we both got one, which we had to order from Germany because the UK version was just the clock and didn't have the little Qi charger part side that goes with it. I think it's a Qi charger that the clock sits on one side and sits into a little sort of slot. And then you've put your phone on the other side. And that Qi charger edition wasn't available in the UK, so we both got one from Germany. I'm still using mine. It's been by my bedside, being used on a daily basis ever since. I know you didn't get on so well with yours, or yours didn't get on with the Wi-Fi, is what I should say. Yours didn't play nicely with your Wi-Fi. I remember that. So in the end, you had to give it up. But if I remember correctly, you were actually sent another one not that long ago to review. Is that correct? And if it is, do you still have that one? Are you using it now?
I have got that one, and to be honest with you, I played with it for half an hour, and I reviewed it, and I did what I was supposed to do, because Lenovo had sent it specially, and then I unplugged it, and it's sat in a drawer ever since. I don't know why. I think the problem is that it doesn't actually do enough for me. It's not clever enough. I don't, as you know, I really struggle to speak to assistants,
yes.
And I just don't do that thing. And I've got an arrangement by my bedside already with a mobile phone that gives me a clock by my bed anyway. It just didn't have a use, and it didn't do enough. It was a bit dumb. It was supposed to be a smart clock, but actually it's not very smart. It doesn't do an awful lot. Now, I know that for your purposes, it does what you need it to do. It's smart enough to do whatever you want it to do, and that's great. But for me, it didn't earn its space because, anyway, the in answer to your question, yes, the network that I've got here does seem to be playing nicely with this now, and it might well have played by now, but all right, with the one that you bought for me and I sent back to you. You've got two because you've got mine, haven't you?
One of them died, so I've actually only got one. Yes, I've only got. The one. But for me it works. And as you say, I only need it to do a small amount. I mean, I say good morning to it, and it gives me all my calendar for the following day and sends me to bed. I say good night, rather, and then in the morning I say good morning, and it turns the light up slowly, and I get all those little fun things that features that Google Home gives you. And that is enough for me. And the other huge selling point for me is that it goes completely dark.
Yeah.
When I use it, it illuminates and does whatever I need it to do, and then after about 30 seconds, it goes black as pitch, and which is, you know, absolutely essential for me. As people know, I need to be in a lead sealed tomb before I can sleep. I'm getting on very well with mine and still using it day by day. And for those who want a moderately smart clock with a little screen, it's perfect. I'm very pleased with it.
Yeah, and I'm sure for the right person it'll be just perfect as it is. It's just that it's not really making its way into my living situation with any value to me. So, but perhaps I'll have another go. In the meantime, I'll tell you about what I'm still using, which is topically and seasonally.
Oh yes,
the Merry Christmas, you filthy animal T-shirt, which I brought to Whatever Works 199 in December 23, a year ago. Certainly not reserved for the festive season. I get comments about this all the time through the year. I just wear it whenever it rotates into what have you. The last person to make a note of it was the dental nurse when I went to the dentist. And she said, do you think it's Christmas then? And, you know, you get those kind of comments. It's pretty good quality, actually. For the £8.99 it costs, so it's also cheap as chips. It's no Fred Perry, but it's good fun and decent enough, and it's fine. It's lasted a year, no problem at all, and it's had regular use. I think you can get other designs from the same people, and that's available. I'll put a link in the show notes, obviously, but that's available via Amazon in different sizes. £8.99 at the moment, so that's what I'm still using.
Well, talking of cheapest chips t-shirts. I bring you Fruit of the Loom, again, in preparation for playing Santa. It's unbelievable. When I'm playing Santa, I can have my photo taken with two children and ask somebody what they want for Christmas, and I'm sweating like a you don't know what. It's unbelievable, the sweat that comes off a man when he puts on two fat suits and dresses as Santa. So I get through a t-shirt per gig, which means I need a lot of t-shirts because I've got a lot of gigs in succession. So I jumped onto our favourite site and I found five Fruit of the Loom, no less, men's heavy t-shirts, $14.99. So they come in at $2.99 each. So it's a third of the price of your $8.99. Mind you, I don't have the attractive and insulting Christmas decoration on it. No, plain white, X, very good quality. Fruit of the Loom, perfectly good, usable quality white t-shirts, five times for $14.99. Cheap as chips.
Really good. I see they go up to size 3XL. Again, you know, because I'm the first thing I always look at with clothing or shoes or slippers is the sizing. But yeah, 3XL might be big enough. Very nice. And you're right. They're incredibly cheap, aren't they? For Fruit of the Loom, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to just get cheap and cheerful ones because, as I say, I need quite a few and I don't want to spend a lot of money on them. And I was shocked to find this and very delighted because they are perfectly decent quality.
You see the range of colours as well.
Yes.
There's a humongous number of colours.
Oh, yes, I forgot to say that. Apologies. Yes, I got the white ones. But yes, you can. You can get them in every colour under the sun.
They're really good value, I would say. I might have checked that out and see if they'll fit me.
You're spending a lot of money on my account this week, Ted. Yeah. Sorry about this.
Definitely, yeah. Cheapest chips for me is my double-sided adhesive tape, which is a 50-metre roll, in black in this case. Different sizes for width. And this is, they come with a pair of tweezers, because the reason that I got this was because I had a phone, a flip phone, in fact, which just wouldn't stick down with the supplied bits of sticky, thin, very, very thin, sticky stuff, double-sided, that it's supposed to. And they just didn't work. And so I got this roll of 1 millimetre. You can get 2 millimetre in different sizes, but the 1 millimetre one is really, really thin. And it's double-sided. You stick it to the thing that you're trying to do, and it double-side sticks it, and it actually works quite well. You can also, it's not just for phones, you can also use it for, I don't know, if you're fiddling around inside a computer to stick a board to a motherboard or something, or a thousand and one, you'd find a million uses for this, I think. So it's cheap as chips at $5.99, and I recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, this is. It took me a moment to notice when I looked through the notes to see this. You know, the USP here is that it is incredibly thin, millimeter thick tape, width tape, or two, or three, or four, or five, which is unusual because normally when we talk about double sided tape, it's what, it's a couple of centimeters thick or something, but wide, I must say. But no, this is incredible. I've not used this before, but yes, again, it's something I just want to get my little hands on to play with. I should have a roll in my box of everything, shouldn't I?
Yeah. I think you would. You're typically the kind of person that would be finding uses for it. As I say, I can't think of anything else to do with it except what I described about the mobile phone case. But I'm sure you would be. I'll send you the rest of my roll. There you go.
I know what you could do with it. You could stick your false teeth into your mouth with it.
Oh, I got some success on that. My false teeth. This week, for the first time, I was able to eat a full meal with the teeth in without them falling out. And the key to it was to put tons and tons of the glue in the top one. So I think I was just putting too little glue. And when I put loads and loads of it in, they just stuck there. And half an hour later after doing it, I was actually able to eat a meal, which was the first time I've been able to. But it's going to cost a fortune in this bloomin' fixo dent or whatever it's called. Anyway,
well, that's there you are. Aside. There's the moral. Don't be so stingy.
I want one of those.
What do you want this time?
Well, I stumbled into this website that was demonstrating that you could get 30 over. They picked out over 30 lovely little gadgets, and I thought of the over 30, I picked out a couple of them. One was the Volcano table clock, which I will link to in the show notes, obviously. And this is a table clock in the style of a inverted TWA airport ceiling clock for £1,300. But it looks great. I mean, it's obviously very American. I don't think we had these in British airports, but we had, you know, similar, but not the same. Yeah. So if you're American, that would probably mean an American traveller, it'd mean more to you. But it just looks lovely. It looks really well produced and designed and but great bit of retro. So there was that, and there was also the Breville Oracle Jet Espresso Machine, which you and I have got our Sage machines, obviously, but £2,000 worth of Breville. Now, Breville is not a brand that you would associate with the quality of Sage, but I wonder if actually Breville do make some good quality.
I can inform you here. Breville is Sage in America. It's the same machine. Same company.
Oh,
if you buy the Oracle, you'll get a Sage in England or a Breville in the States. It's just the same company with a different name. So this is obviously
here, really.
This is just my coffee machine on steroids. This is just the next greatest version of the coffee machine that I have, and I can't quite see what it does. Oh, it makes cold brew. That's right. I remember reading it. You can make cold brew coffee with it.
Okay. Well, anyway, of those things, I fancy the table clock most, the Volcano table clock. Anything you fancy in there?
Well, it was the Gonzi Arc XL pizza oven that caught my attention.
Oh, yeah.
I like a good pizza, as we all do, and that would be rather fun. If you had $800 to throw away, you could just keep one in the kitchen or even in the garden for hot weather and have pizza. Good fun. Good sort of thing that you don't want to look through because you know you're going to end up spending money you haven't got. So thanks for that.
Yeah. There's also the £6,000 Leica camera, which let's not start on cameras.
No.
Whatever worked.
Ah, this is fun. This is our new section where you dig up a show of the past and we see whether anything is still any good or whether it did or didn't work in the past tense.
Well, summarised.
Thank you.
Summarised.
Very good. I tell you,
it worked.
Now, what have we put? You've popped in this year. This show, you've popped into our show notes, show number 42, which was on the 2nd of September 2017. Ooh, seven or 8 years ago. And I've spotted the B&Q Form Axle Galvanised Shelving. Now, I can't be 100% certain that I brought this to the show. Maybe somebody else did and I then followed suit. But I do remember that around that time, just pre-COVID, I got very excited about this kind of steel shelving. And I have a couple, which I would say I'm still using. I'm not actually actively using them because I barely go near them, but I have one in the garage and one in the spare room in the house, and they are covered with crap and bits and pieces that have ended up cluttering them. And I have to say they haven't collapsed under their own weight or any other weight, and they're still there and they still work, and every blue moon I go and get something or put something on. And so it works. It's shelving. Do you remember this, Ted? I got very excited about these, and they're the ones that they come, you know, pre-packed, and it's basically a metal scaffold that you put together, and you end up with very sturdy, very strong, if you do it properly, shelving. That's what I take away from this one: the galvanized shelving in all flavors.
I do remember this, and on the back of you bringing this to the show, I, at the time, was living somewhere where I was going to benefit from some of this, and so I got it as well. And there was a difference, I think, between the one that you got and the one I got, which was one of us, you had to bolt the things together, and the other one, the shelves just kind of slotted into some slots. And so, yeah, if you're going to get into any of this stuff, check how it all goes together and whether you want to be bothered to be bolting it together and using a spanner or just slotting it together.
As far as I can recall, you have to spanner together the actual framework and then the shelves themselves slotted in, something
right,
like that.
Right, okay.
At least in my case.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I do remember that, though. And it's good that it's still set there not being used. But there you go.
Yeah, well, there you are. That's a dichotomy. Is it using or not using? The fact that it's still there and still got things on it, yet I barely touch it, I suppose it's still using because it's still there.
Well, this is not still using. This is whatever worked.
Well, it did work. And so... but it still works.
But I'm going to break the rules of whatever worked, because the one that I'm bringing to the show, the Morphy Richards soup maker, definitely didn't work. Well, it did for a year and a day, and then it just was crap, and it was always really difficult to clean, and it didn't fall apart, but it did in the end stop working. And I remember that complaining about it in the end, that it was it would smell as well. It smelled of electrical something or other while it was belting around doing what it was doing. Anyway, this thing was in the end rubbish, and I wouldn't recommend it. And I would put people onto the one that I in the end replaced it with, which is one that I come back to time and again, the Ninja soup maker.
Yes.
Which is 150 quid, nearly always on sale at 129 quid, but it's just brilliant, and it's the best 129 quid I ever spent. Well, actually, it was a Christmas present or birthday present, but it really is ever so good. If anyone's going to buy a soup maker, that is definitely... Anyway, well,
yeah,
you
do bang on about that about as much as I bang on about my coffee machine. So.
Yeah. So... But just to point out that don't bother with that Morphy Richards one, in my humble opinion.
And we're rocking through it today. This is okay, I'm going to admit this is not only personal, each to their own, but it's also indicative of my being something of a snob, so I'm probably not going to get much sympathy for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know what my room 101 is today? It's I suppose one could say lucky, privileged enough that I relatively often find myself in a hotel overnight for various reasons. Tea and coffee machines at hotel breakfasts. For years and years and years and years and years, you'd go to breakfast in a hotel and you'd sit down half asleep and a lovely waiter or waitress would come over and say, "Good morning, what's your room number? Do you want tea or coffee?" And then you'd sit there and they'd bring you the tea or coffee that you ordered. More and more and more now, when you go to breakfast, you don't see a waiter for love nor money, and there's a coffee machine with a long queue, and when you get to the front of the queue, it produces this sort of hot muck that doesn't taste half as good as what the waiter or waitress used to bring in the good old days. And I just think it's a shame. Yes, I understand why. I understand the world is changing and blah, 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 blah. I just miss waiters and waitresses in hotel breakfasts serving you tea and coffee in the morning to your table, as opposed to having to go to use a machine, which most of the time has a queue in front of it and doesn't taste very nice when you get it. Excuse me. That's it. They are finished.
So the question for you is, would you be prepared to pay an extra 5% on your bill in order to have that service?
Yes.
Okay. Because
I
because
shut you up at it.
because you could afford to, but lots of people couldn't, I suppose. But that's the point, I think, for me, is that they're saving manpower, they're saving person power, they're saving salaries, which is, you know, and what's doing that is because customers want prices cheaper and cheaper for what they get in the, you know, being able to stay in the hotel. I'm assuming that's what it's all about.
Well, I think I have to disagree, because on a couple of occasions and over the last years, when I've taken my mother, we've been on holiday. And when I holiday with my mother, who's an elderly lady, we have to get a hotel of a certain standard to make sure that she's safe and warm and looked after properly. And those hotels, too, have tea and coffee machines. And those are hotels where you would expect that the moderately high bill you've, price you've paid would include waiter and waitress service. So I'm not sure. I think there are worse forces at play here.
Fair enough.
There we are. That's it. That's my whinge. Anybody got any comments? Send a postcard to Ted Salmon, care of. Right. What are you?
Care of your local hotel.
Yes.
Right. Skull Candy Rift 2. They what? Are Pardon? Shite.
What are Skull, they?
I've never had a Skull Candy pair of headphones before.
Headphones. Sorry, Ted. I hate to cut in and interrupt, but I had no idea what you're talking about. These are headphones.
No,
aren't
nor
they?
Did I.
Right. Okay.
Nor did I. And that's part of the point, really. Anyway, I was going through Tesco. The backdrop to this story is I was going through Tesco the other day, and I saw this girl with a pair of headphones on that were really slim to the side of her ears, very very slim. You could hardly see that she had them on, and I thought, oh, that's a good idea, because the headphones that I reluctantly wear out and about are great big Sony ones that stick out a mile, and I feel a bit of a klutz with them on. Anyway, so I accosted her. I did wonder whether I should be doing that publicly, but anyway, I did, and I asked her, what are these? And she said they were these Skull Candy headphones. Anyway, so I went off to our favourite store, and on Black Friday, they had a pair of these Skull Candies for £39, which I thought, oh, that's all right, lovely jubbly, and sent off for them. They arrived, and as soon as I took them out of the box, I could just see, sure enough, they were kind of slim, and they looked the part, I suppose, but they are just such terrible quality. They are just plastic, fantastic rubbish. They don't feel as though they're going to even last a week, particularly wearing them out and about. They're just horrible. Now, I'm sure that more expensive Skull Candy headphones are probably going to be not like that, but I don't know. I think they're just rubbish, and they're not worth the money. If you compare them with, for example, a Sony pair of the same kind of price range, so for example the 520s are £45, and they are so much better quality. So I don't know what this Skull Candy thing is about, but I don't think I'll bother buying another pair of those ever, even if they are slim and fit for the side of your head nicely. And that's the end. They can go.
Well, thank you for providing the service. I mean, there's good and bad products out there, and you've tried a bad one and you've reported it. So thank you. I presume you sent them back and got your money back.
I did, yeah. But I, as soon as I took them out of the box, they lasted about 10 minutes, and I looked at them and I put them on my head. And I'm not paying even 13. The proper price is £49. It's just such a rip-off. They're so plasticky crap.
I've just come up with a scheme. I've just come up with a dastardly idea. Why don't I go onto Amazon and spend hundreds of pounds on products that I don't want, using the affiliate, giving you the pennies, and then send them all back? Do they then?
Because they take it off. Yeah.
Do they take it off your affiliate?
Yeah, they do. They've clued into that. If someone returns something, they take it away.
Oh shucks! All right, well then let's move on. Steve Litchfield has had a little rant on. Thank you, Steve. Your rants are always most welcome. On suicidal young cyclists at night. Steve says they don't actually know that that's what they're doing, probably, because these usually young people are cycling around my town at night, dressed in dark clothing, with no helmet, with no lights on their bike, often cycling without hands on the handlebars, often cycling while holding their phone in the other hand, or all of the above. When I was growing up, says Steve, in the 1970s, it was drummed into us by parents and teachers that it was illegal to cycle at night without working lights. And over the last half century, I've watched as this rule has become less and less enforced or cared about, to the extent that young people on cycles clearly give no thought at all to their own safety. I've been racking my memory to ask myself what I was like on a bike when I was 17. I'm sure I wasn't as safe as I remember, but I know I wasn't suicidal. Yeah, I mean, you've tapped into a much bigger question there, Steve, which is just, you know, youth of today. The fact that it's just not what it was. I mean, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, and I just think it's indicative of the fact that, unfortunately, a lot of young people are not the young people that we were when we were younger and that we would have them be.
I was walking down a very narrow pavement a few months ago in Abergele, and a cyclist, a young sprat, was coming towards me on the pavement, and I had to, in the end, leap out the way because it was obvious he was just going to drive into me. If I'd carried on walking as I was, he wasn't stopping, and what do you do? I don't know.
What I find extraordinary is people walking. If I'm driving and somebody walk because they're staring at their phone and they step in front of me, if I honk my horn at them, they just sort of turn and nonchalantly look at me and just eye skyward and keep walking. And not only is it just rude and discourteous and wrong, but they could die, but they just don't seem to realise it.
Youth of today.
Youth of today, innit? Yeah. Okay, let's go the other way. Let's do something nice. Let's give somebody a gold star. I was allowed that R. I'm drinking tea and I just took a big sip of my tea. So that was a tea R, actually. But do
a genuine R.
A genuine R, yeah.
I'm going to give again a gold star to Royal Mail because, and this is very specific to me, but they at last they are enabling swift interception of deliveries of special delivery items and others, I think, in time for, and that's the important bit, the next day delivery reassignment. So just to explain, in my living situation, I'm not allowed to have stuff delivered to me, okay, on this static site, but just 100 feet away from me, there's a shop, and inside the shop, there's a post office. It's right. A corner shop kind of arrangement. And I've always said, why can't I just tell people to send stuff to me to that shop, to that post office? But apparently, no, they can't do that. I've mentioned this on the show before because they're gonna kill their PO box address system if they do that. Blah blah blah. Anyway. For the first time, they've started to let me, as long as I get the code quickly, I can log on to the Royal Mail website. As soon as the item arrives at the first sorting office from where it's being sent, mm-hmm. and there's a button that comes up and it says, you can change the delivery address. And so what I do is I go in, and that can be a shop as well, on the system. So I go into that as quickly as I can with the code and tell them to send it to my local shop. And sure enough, it doesn't then get attempted to get to be delivered at the house and therefore go to the shop the following day. It intercepts it. Right. At the point of the sorting office. And the next day, as if it was going to the house, it arrives at the shop the next day. I know that no one else will be particularly enthusiastic about this, but this makes a huge difference to me. I've had this for so long, and I've been banging on about it for so long. I say, well done, Royal Mail. You've actually made this special and great for me. And I can get next day deliveries to the shop now, as long as I do those things. Well done. Long live the postie, I say.
Do you know what? I do agree, Ted, because in this day and age, 24 hours when you've ordered something online is a hell of a long time to wait. So if you can save 24 hours, I totally understand that. I'm behind you on that one.
Well, sometimes you just want to, you just have to have that item.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I think we're done, aren't we? That's another show in the can, so to speak. We'll be back in a fortnight. Will we be back in a fortnight, or are you doing something sanitary?
I think so. I mean, you and I may have to zhuzh the schedule around a little bit hither and thither if necessary. But yes, at the moment, I intend to be back in 2 weeks' time. Probably no voice by then. I'll probably be doing the show like this. But yes, definitely.
Excellent. OK, aidenbell.com is where you can find Aidan. Whateverworks.works is our website. The MeWe group is where we scoop up stuff that whatever works for you and your life. So do keep that coming. tedsalmon.com is where you'll find links to all the audio podcasts that me and the team are involved in, and also links to all the MeWe groups, of which there are plenty. So do click through to tedsalmon.com and follow your nose and join us in the conversations and in all the fun that we put out there. That's about it, I think. Last word to you.
Pencil Tuesday, running sellotape. Sorry, no last words. Just Just have a Fair lovely enough. Shades of Dumbledore there, I think. Have a lovely fortnight, folks, and see you on the other side.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time for perhaps we'll have a bit of a festive feel on the next one. So be
oh,
prepared
for that. Yes, it will be
that.
Almost ho, time, ho, ho. Won't it? Yes, well, I'll be here with my best Santa.
Okay, one last thing to say, as always, don't forget, whatever works,
works.